I came to know Tony as a very smart and capable man. He had good values. He's an honest guy. Had a wonderful sense of humor. He loved to laugh. He loved his country. And he loved his family.
Well, it seems like every time you turn around, another one of these journalists, I don't know if it's the generation or what, these journalists who also happen to be Christians, has died. Tim Russert died. I took that hard. I will tell you that I was driving home from our studio in the making on the Friday, I believe it was, that Tim Russert's death was announced. And the first thing I did was pick up the phone and call Jeff, and we were both aghast. And then I called my wife, and she said, "Did you hear?" And I heard. She knew what it meant to me to have someone like Tim Russert as a personal role model. They were journalists. That's what they saw themselves as. We're going to talk about the vocation of journalist here in the first 15 minutes of Issues Etc. None other than Dr. Uwe Simonetto will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us on this Tuesday, the 15th of July. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our short conversation with Uwe, we'll be talking with you, our listeners, some audio open lines. CNN story on the persistent Obama Muslim myth. Many people still believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. And also a CBS News report on a man who fancies himself the new Messiah. In fact, the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. We'll find out about him a little bit later in the program. In the second hour of Today's Issues, Etc., we'll talk about a recent interview that Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA, did with the BBC in advance of the Lambeth Conference. And then we'll talk about Christ-centered fatherhood. Pastor David Shaddy will be our guest for that conversation. You can join us, 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest, an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and he joins us from France. Uwe, welcome back.
Good to be back, and I'm glad to hear you're back on the air.
Uwe, first of all, did you celebrate Bastille Day? I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
No, it was yesterday, and I didn't celebrate it. To me, Bastille Day is what caused so many of the problems that we've had in Europe, communism, Nazism, all that. So now, actually, we had a party here at a neighbor's house, and we all celebrated the king.
The king?
Yes. I don't know who the king is, but the king. That's the guy who was, not the guy who was beheaded because it's too late, but whoever should be the king.
Well,
I'm no fan of the French Revolution. No, I'm a great fan of France. I love this country, but French Revolution is not my deal.
Well, recently the United States lost two prominent journalists who happen to be professed Christians, Tim Russert and Tony Snow. What can we learn from these two men, their careers, about the vocation of journalists?
Well, to begin with, I knew one of them because I had some Tony Snow, because I had some exchanges with him. And the most fascinating thing about Tony Snow is when he goofed, when he was then with Fox. And I sent him an email saying that you're totally off the wall here, Tony. He shot back and said, "I'm sorry, yeah, I'll correct myself." That is, to me, the sign of a good journalist, because if you have a calling as a journalist, and that's, of course, you know, have to be a Christian in order to really sense this calling, or a Jew. Jews have the same sense of calling. And if you screw up, because we're human beings, and we will screw up, and somebody points out that you made a major poo-poo, you say, "Well, I'm sorry, I correct myself," and you don't have any compunctions about that, because that makes you human. Your main responsibility, and that's the case with Russert and Snow, is not to yourself, but it is to your calling to serve your neighbor, and your neighbor in this particular case would have been the viewers of the television stations they worked for.
When Tim Russert passed away, those who remembered him, who knew him professionally, all spoke about a guy who was, they didn't use the term old school, but they certainly, I think, got it across that this was a guy who understood journalism as a vital calling in American democracy, who took
Correct.
It very seriously, who was meticulously honest and expected others to be, and they tied that together with his professed Christian faith, but they all noted that he didn't confuse his vocation as a journalist with his life as a Christian. He kept them right where they belong. Talk about that.
Well, precisely, because they were Roman Catholics, but actually we Lutherans and Roman Catholics are not too far apart on this issue. If you know your stuff properly, you know that you're basing yourself on Scripture. Your principal service, your most important service to God, is serving your neighbor lovingly, and that is not serving your neighbor lovingly at the altar, unless you are a pastor or a priest or whatever. But you're serving him in your regular daily callings and your vocations as a journalist in this particular case. So you're not confusing one or the other. You're not preaching the gospel via the airwaves, or in my case, when I've been a journalist for 50 years, but in the writing craft, in my columns, at least not in my secular columns, you just report fairly and decently, and you, if your job is to analyze the news events, to do that decently, out of service for your neighbor. Your neighbor is your reader, and he can be Jewish, he can be Christian, he can be Muslim, he could be an atheist. It doesn't matter. Your calling is to serve him. And guys like Russert and Snow understood that, and there are, alas, too few journalists nowadays who understand it. There are still quite a number about. I don't want to underrate our craft here. But if journalism were practiced the way these guys did, and the way these guys saw their calling, we'd all be in a much better shape.
We spoke recently with Molly Hemingway, another journalist, and she had commented,
a friend of mine.
Mutual friend, she had commented that the newsroom is a place where there are sadly very few Christians, therefore few journalists who truly understand Christianity as a religion or religion in general. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Molly is perfectly right, and that is something that has happened in the last few decades. And the reason for that is, of course, that you cannot even blame these journalists. The problem is that Christians have not made a major effort, and especially Lutherans, who should know this best, have not made a major effort to become secular journalists, as you become a secular doctor, a medical doctor, or a secular engineer. And to serve, you know, that they have not had a sense of their calling, their divine calling to their vocations, by just serve their neighbors in doing their jobs, and so therefore they've opened the floodgates to people who have a totally different agenda. The agenda of a Christian is not in journalism would not be to spread Christianity, but just to serve the neighbor and the little Christ in the guy next to you. Unless you have that this thing deeply implanted in your head, you withdraw from it, and you withdraw from the world which is totally un-Catholic and un-Lutheran and actually un-Christian. You separate yourself from the world instead of engaging this world in which we live and engaging it according to its own rules. And so if you do that, then you leave the field open to everybody else. And that is, of course, what Molly had been pilloring correctly, as I believe. But the people responsible for that are primarily Christians themselves who are not doing that, who have not understood this particular concept.
Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He's an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. He joins us from France. We're talking about the vocation of journalists, especially on the death of Tony Snow and Tim Russert. When we come back, we'll get his reaction to the Vatican. Vatican has a newspaper. It's actually a very well-respected newspaper. The Vatican has hired its first female journalist. We're going to hear the story from CBS, and then we'll get Uwe's reaction to that on the other side of this break. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 15th of July. You can join us with questions or comments as we talk about Christianity in the newsroom, or should we say it, Christians in the newsroom, journalists who happen to be Christians? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio on this Tuesday, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Pastor Christopher Eskett, Jeremy Van Toll, Pastor Greg Eilers, Lloyd Wagner Sr., Roger Mishler, George Smith, Pastor Robert Wurst Jr., Eric Rapp, Mark Rofreisch, and Stefan Maywald. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
New technology, old theology, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What you are about to hear is graphic and disturbing. If you have children nearby, please turn your radio off now. In a partial birth abortion, a living baby is pulled feet first from her mother's womb until all but the head is exposed. The doctor then punctures the base of the baby's skull with a pair of scissors or other sharp instrument, inserts a suction tube, and removes the baby's brains before completing the delivery of the now dead baby. Each year, partial birth abortions are performed on 3,000 to 5,000 babies in the fifth or sixth month of pregnancy, sometimes even later. They are usually performed on perfectly healthy babies of perfectly healthy mothers. The American Medical Association has said partial birth abortions are not good medicine. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, a regular guest here on the program. We're talking about the vocation of journalist. Before we let him go, I've got to know, how important is it that we have journalists? Journalism is, well, they call it the fourth estate. It is vital to a democracy, isn't it? Certainly the Founding Fathers considered it vital to a democracy. But first we'll get Uwe's reaction to a story from CBS about the first Vatican reporter that is in fact a female. Let's listen, Uwe.
Readers of the venerable Vatican newspaper may notice a new byline these days. Founded almost a century and a half ago, the paper has hired its first woman reporter. Our reporter, Alan Pizzi, has more.
As the semi-official mouthpiece of the Vatican, the Osservatore Romano has been as much a bastion of male dominance as the church itself. But for the first time in 147 years, the paper has a woman reporter on the staff of its daily edition. Silvia Guidi has broken what might be called the frescoed ceiling. I believe that for the reader it is interesting to read something written by a Christian, she says. Whether it is by a man or a woman, she adds, is not important.
So you're not going to be a revolutionary here.
And forget the hallowed newspaper tradition of noon marking the first drink of the day. Here it is a pause for communal prayers in the hallway. But that does not preclude being career-minded, even though she never thought she'd make it onto the staff.
Were you surprised?
Yes, very much, is the answer to both. Editor Gian Maria Vian says Guidi is intelligent, writes well, and fit another important criteria. The presence of a woman on the staff was requested by what I might call my editor, he says, in the sense of editor and proprietor of the paper, the Pope. A few Vatican traditionalists didn't like it, but letters to the editor criticizing the Pope are unlikely. And who knows what might come next.
Can you imagine a woman sitting in that chair doing your job?
Perché no?
Why not?
Perché no?
But given how long it took Osservatore Romano to hire a woman reporter, making one the editor anytime soon might be akin to a miracle. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Vatican City.
Uwe, I'm curious, your thoughts on the Vatican's first female reporter.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thought and a wonderful idea. Of course, 50% of all Roman Catholics are women, and in my experience as a reporter, and I've been in this game for 51 years now, there's many glorious women writers as there are male writers. So obviously, the Vatican did the right thing. We're not talking about a journalist presiding at Eucharist and. In St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, we are talking about somebody writing about Roman Catholicism and writing for Roman Catholic and Christian faithful the world over. And among those faithful, you have 50% women. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Finally, then, why does a free society need journalism, good journalists?
Well, to make decisions in everyday life, you can only make decisions, proper decisions, upon good information. You have to be well informed, honestly informed, decently informed, and in areas where you have no expertise, you have to have honest analysts who help you along with that. You cannot have a democracy, you cannot have any form of state without a decent press, and the decent press means that it is being served by journalists who don't have their own belly buttons in their heads, and who don't want to produce themselves as the great geniuses of all times, but who take as much care, who are as much worried about your well-being as a regular citizen, as a baker would be who bakes bread, or a doctor who looks after your health. The focus has to be on the other, and that is the way, by the way, we were brought up back when people like Tim Russert and Tony Snow and I and others trained to be journalists. We were all told, you are not the focus, you're not the center of all things, you're not the focus of things, you are to serve your public, your readership, and your viewership. And that's why we need it. We cannot have a functioning free society without decent media. And if that goes away, then we're in deep, deep trouble.
I do have to ask you before we let you go, the CBS story made allusion to a newsroom tradition of the first drink at the stroke of noon. Are you familiar with it, Uwe?
Well, that may be the Vatican thing. I mean, I can remember in my career the first drink being at the stroke of 10 or 9 in the morning. But, I mean, don't tell your listeners that. Nowadays, of course, I wouldn't start until sundown. But I'm old.
Yes, well, it's 5 o'clock someplace, as they say over here.
That's right.
Uwe Simonetta was a regular guest.
Anyway, they have decent wine where they publish the Osservatore Romano, so they deserve it.
Uwe Simonetta was a regular guest. He's an international journalist, director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. He was kind enough to join us from France, where I think it's past 5 o'clock, so we'll let him get to the business at hand. Uwe, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, and bye-bye, and good luck to yourself.